Please take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25 to 27 this morning. Let's ask God to guide our time together. Father, we just thank you for the chance to study your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word and all that we need for life and godliness. I pray that you would help us understand the lesson that you have here for us today. Encourage us, challenge us, make us more like your son, I pray. I'm going to clearly explain this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled a message this morning, The Benefits of Fearing the Lord. Benefits of Fearing the Lord. You know, fear is often seen as a negative thing, right? But appropriate fear is a good thing to keep from hurting you. One of the first lessons, well, not first lessons, one of the early lessons in life that children have to learn or should learn is the fear of fire or fear of hot things, right? When you tell them that it's hot, don't touch, that they need to listen to that. That's a good thing, right, to keep you from getting hurt. Or maybe a fear of falling, you know, you don't go so close to the edge, or don't goof off around the, you know, when you're up high. Maybe, you know, it's a fear of crashing and, you know, you need a healthy respect for your vehicle when you're in it traveling. Or keep you from getting hurt, or, you know, working with tools, you know, that could hurt you. You know, you need to be careful in that. Using your finances, if you're irresponsible with that, you can end up with some significant hurts. Maybe hurt a relationship, lose a relationship. We have to learn these lessons in life. I remember learning the lesson very vividly, and I should have known better, but you don't touch a burner to tell if it's on or not. Right? I don't know why. I was like a teen, early teen, and I was like, is that hot? And I touched it. And they're like, yeah, it's hot, you know, and it burns you really quickly when it's on. That's one of those lessons you have to learn in life, and a healthy respect and a fear of those things is a good thing. In Proverbs chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, we learn about the benefits of fearing the Lord. It's a lesson that we all need to learn. 3 weeks ago, when we were last together, we studied from the book of Proverbs about cautionary tales. And we saw the conclusions of consequences come from no consideration. We need to think before you act, not just believe everywhere. Don't be so gullible. Don't just rush into rage and be also sure of yourself. We have one of our children that's very confident, and often he's confidently wrong. I think it's a human trait sometimes, right? Or you'll be quick-tempered, or you find out that you'll be hated when you go down that road, and you'll inherit folly. Contrast that where if you are prudent, you will consider your steps. You'll think through what you're going to do. You'll be wise, but you'll fear the consequences of your actions. And so you leave the evil behind you. The prudent is crowned with knowledge, and ultimately the righteous and the good are bowed before by the evil. So that we need to think about the consequences of our actions. And then secondly, the conclusion of the wants come from no wisdom. The poor are hated by their neighbors, and it's the reality of life. It's not always right, but you don't have much, it's hard for people to respect you sometimes. People go astray because they devise evil. And if you just talk about what you're going to do and never do it, then it will lead to poverty. And all that fools will get in the end really is more folly, more foolishness or stupidity. Contrast that with the rich have many friends. Now, sometimes their friends aren't really friends, but wealth does bring people around you. The corrective to that, I think, is that happiness comes from mercy, having mercy on the poor, and that truth belongs to those who are good. And in all labor there is profit, even if it's not labor that you get paid for. And ultimately, the crown of the wise will be the riches. Not that necessarily if you are always wise, you will always be rich. But generally speaking, there comes wealth from living a wise life. Remember, the the reality of Proverbs are not promises, but general principles in life. Now, Solomon continues his instructions on wise living by showing the benefits of fearing the Lord. It's a theme that is throughout the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 1. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And even later he'll say in that chapter, you know, the unwise don't fear the Lord. That's why they go and do what they do. And chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 8, verse 13, chapter 9, verse 10, similarly repeating almost as a bookend to chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, this time. And how we need to start there if we are to truly arrive at that. So this is a theme throughout the book. And Solomon spends some more time developing it here in these few verses. And it's from his descriptions, I think we can learn about the benefits of fearing the Lord. And there's three benefits that I want to show you in these verses. The first benefit in verse 25 is the fear of the Lord gives deliverance. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. Now, it doesn't introduce it with the fear of the Lord, but as he's transitioning from previous section to this section, I think there's a tie here. And he takes the next two verses to specifically talk about the fear of the Lord. And I think there's an implication and a reminder, when you do this, it will deliver you. When you tell the truth, you will deliver you and deliver others. But a deceitful witness speaks lies. Why is this? Telling the truth, it's the word for firmness, for what is stable, it helps not only you, but it helps those that you are standing up for. In a court of law, it will actually deliver someone from punishment or judgment. That's why a true witness is so vital. Remember back in verse 5, it says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And we talked there about the ultimate example of a faithful and true witness is Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 3, verse 14. He is the one that always tells the truth. God cannot lie. Aren't you thankful? We know that what He is telling us is right. It is true. It is real. And we can build our lives upon it. We need to be people like that. The law told, you know, instructed not to lie. We're instructed in Ephesians 4, 25, not to don't lie to one another. You know, to speak truth with one another. When we do, we deliver souls. Jesus is the ultimate truth. His truth delivers people from eternity and eternal damnation. We are called to be like Him. As we share the gospel, the truth about Jesus Christ. But the deceitful witness literally breathes deceit. This is something that God hates, as we saw back in chapter 6, verse 19. And promises in chapter 19, verses 5 and 9, that will be punished. Don't think that your little white lie will go unnoticed. God sees and knows, and there is coming a day of reckoning. We must give account even for our idle words. So the fear of the Lord gives deliverance. I'm not a fan of heights. I've had to learn to conquer my fears in a sense. Yesterday I was up on someone's roof cutting some tree branches. I always get really cautious around the edge of the roof. Right? It's when that's time to slow down and be careful. Not just, sometimes I've seen some people just walking around, like my brother. One of my brothers, like, he's all the time, you know, just running around on the edge of the roof. I'm like, yeesh, nope. I want to be careful. Right? I remember one time in 2020 after the derecho, I was trimming some trees here in town. I was out. And I put the ladder up against the tree. It was up against the branch, and it was like under 6 inches of the ladder was on the branch. And I started to go up it, and I was like, you know, I'm out here alone. That's probably not a really secure spot that is. And if this thing falls, I mean, I don't even know if my wife knows where I am right now. So I probably should get down and put that in a place that is not going to fall. So I made sure it was hooked on there securely, and then I went up and hung out in the tree. But, you know, that kind of fear is a good fear, right? It keeps you from being stupid, and it delivers you in a sense. Do you see how, in a greater sense, the fear of the Lord delivers you from sin and death? Remember, a fear of the Lord is a proper reverence and respect for God, for who He is and what He's done for us, right? It is recognizing God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. We are accountable to Him, and we need to live accordingly, right? That's what Proverbs means by the fear of the Lord. And so this kind of fear delivers you from sin and death. Ultimately, it brings life because you fear the consequences of sin. Remember, the wages of sin is death. That's where that will take you. Do you realize that the truth will deliver you from the consequences of sin? That's what you need. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's through Jesus is the embodiment of truth. You know, John 1 says that grace and truth are, he's full of grace and truth. So it is when we listen to Him and His Word that we are delivered from sin. That's why we need to listen to His Word. Jesus said, sanctify Him by your truth. Your Word is truth. The truth will set you free, right? As Scripture says. And really, Proverbs chapter 3 shows you that. You know, if you bind truth about your neck, do not, my son, do not forsake my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And you could go on. It's God's truth that will set you free. It will anchor you. It will give you favor with others. It will help you. It will beautify your life. I mean, we could wax eloquent about the truth that we need and its application to our lives. Contrast us with following the way of lying. Remember, Satan is the father of lies, according to John 8:44, and when we lie, we are following him. And where does he lead? It says he was a murderer from the beginning. That's what he did. He brought death to Adam and Eve as he got them to buy into his lies. That's where lies will take you. Ultimately, because Adam and Eve listened to Satan, we all die, as Romans 5:12 tells us. Do you understand how we're called to be people of the truth, to tell the truth? As Ephesians 4:25 tells us. And there he quotes from Zechariah 8:16, you know, instructing them to be people of the truth, the Jews. We need to tell the truth. And it is only a fear of the Lord that will properly motivate us. If you look at the context of Ephesians 4:25, right prior to that, he talks about remembering who God is and what He's done for us. Verse 24 says, you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And prior to that, he's talked about how, you know, don't keep walking as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the way you used to be, and where that was taking you, and the darkness of your mind, understanding dark and alienated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that's in you, the blindness of your heart, your past feeling, and giving yourselves over to lewdness to work on uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Right? It is a fear of the Lord that has led you to the truth. So live like it, is what he's saying. And that's why he starts, I think, with putting away lying and anger, you know, unbiblical anger and stealing and corrupt words and all those things that he goes on to explain. God calls us to fear Him, and when we do, it leads us to leave the sin behind. It is those who don't fear God that don't obey Him. Proverbs 1:27 or 29 says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Right? It's the people that don't want God and His truth. that don't listen to him because they don't fear him. In fact, they often mock at him. Do you realize that telling the truth will not only help you, but it will help others escape judgment as well? This is why telling the truth of the gospel is the greatest truth we need to share with those around us. Right? We've escaped the consequences of sin through Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Share that. We are called to be ambassadors, witnesses of the truth. Testify as a true and faithful witness like Jesus. It preserves a relationship with God and others. In fact, 1 John 1 tells us that if we don't tell the truth, we lie. And we don't have the truth. We aren't in the light. We're not walking in the light. And we're not enjoying the fellowship with God. It's interesting. You watch a lot of movies even today, and they show unintentionally the consequences of lying. Now, it's often contradictory because then they turn around and they won't lie to their friends, but they'll lie to other people. But it shows some of the consequences. That's the reality of life. Lies have consequences. We need to be people of the truth. Do you see how the fear of the Lord gives deliverance? That's the first benefit. Second benefit, the fear of the Lord gives confidence in verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. Solomon describes here how the fear of the Lord gives confidence because there is a strong and mighty confidence in fearing the Lord. Isaiah 33:6 puts it this way, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Right? This is how we are called to live. And when you fear the Lord, you treasure Him, it leads to confidence. Psalm 115, verse 11 tells us that He is our help and our shield when we fear Him. Psalm 115, verse 13, He blesses those who fear Him. I love the promises that Paul expounds upon in Romans 8. The one who is trusting in the Lord can have confidence. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered us up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is there God? It is God who justifies or makes right. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen and is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Rhetorical questions. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Not literally, it's when we figuratively feel like that, when just everything's going against us, we have no say in what's happening. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I'm convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, that includes us, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the confidence that we can have when we fear the Lord and we live for Him. We can be persuaded that nothing can separate us from His love. And we can cling to God and His truth. And we know that God cares for us because He sent His Son to die for us. These are things that should anchor us. This truth should anchor us even through the worst of times. And it's not just for us. The rest of that verse, in the fear of the Lord, there's a strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. Now, my translation, His, is capitalized. It's not necessarily capitalized in the Hebrew. They're saying it's his descendants, meaning God's children. Most other translations put it as his in lowercase. Some even specify that it's their descendants. I think it's probably a better way to understand that. Though both of those, even if it's God's descendants or our descendants, it's those who follow him are blessed. Right? They will have a place of refuge when, because they are trusting in him. They continue, your children keep trusting in God and they find a refuge. It's not just your benefit, but it's benefit for those who follow, those who you pass on this fear of the Lord. It's part of the blessing predicted in the new covenant in Jeremiah 32, verses 39 and 40. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, your children may be blessed after you. You have a place of refuge. One of the songs the kids sang at camp was, Proverbs 18:10. The Lord is a strong tower, and those who run into it will be safe. Right? Be safe. Remember that? We can have that confidence in God. He is the one that we can have. He is our refuge and strength. And the book of Psalms is just chock full. I read one passage in Psalm 99. That he is our refuge. He is the one that we can run to in the midst of the storms of life. Recently the hurricanes that rocked the East Coast, people were looking for safe places. My brother told me that, what's the island that was mostly wiped out? He said a lot of the places there weren't built for hurricane. And so they'll have a chance to rebuild for hurricanes. This is why the building codes in Florida are very, very strict. Because of the hurricanes. They need a place of refuge. My brother built basically a bunker. It's, solid concrete. It's the foam blocks, poured walls. And, that thing is built to last. Because of the storms that they face. That's what you want. God is like that and even greater. He will enable us when the storms of life rock us, when we lose loved ones, when the financial trouble hits, when the culture turns against us, we can cling to Him. When our family falls apart, we can cling to God as a refuge. A fear of my dad growing up, because many times I got disciplined, I felt the sting, the consequences, yet I knew that he loved me. And because of that, I had confidence in his ability to help me. Like when in college, my transmission blew up. Didn't realize at the time because I drained all the oil out of it. That was a hard lesson to learn later, but thankfully he helped me out when I had no money to fix that. He paid to fix that. He was the one that I would go to for those kind of things. Why? Because he knew he loved me and he cared for me and he had the resources and means to help me. Do you see how a fear of the Lord leads you to have confidence in his help when you need it most? Do you realize that he loves you more than any human, a parent, a loved one? He loves you more. And the proof is in his sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Don't treat that lightly. That is incredible love. And then to consider that he did this when we hated him. God demonstrated his love toward us while we were still sinners. God died for us. Right? That's when he died for us. It wasn't when we were already part of the family. Like giving your life for your kid or something like that, or your spouse. No, it is when we were his enemies. He loved us. Nothing can separate you from that love. I love that passage in Romans 8. And I hope you are just as convinced, if not more, that nothing can separate you from his love. We need to have that confidence as we go through life. Have you responded to His love by repenting of your sin and trusting Him to save you? Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you have that confidence that you would cast your eternal destiny wholly upon Him to rescue from sin's penalty and give you what He promises, everlasting life? And then will you live for Him, the one who died for you and rose again, 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. The love of Christ should compel us. Because He judged us as He died for all, then all that... He died for all and all, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and rose again. Right? The truth that recognizing what He did for us should motivate us to live for Him. And do you realize that this will bring not only blessing and happiness for you, but I think for your descendants as well? That's one of the reasons I wanted Dr. Tim Little to share from Proverbs 2 about the good life. Walking in the goodness of the Lord, as you do, you're blessed. Right? Generally speaking, yes, God sometimes allows other things, but it is a blessing when you follow the Lord. Do you see how the fear of the Lord gives confidence? Second benefit. Third benefit, the fear of the Lord gives life. In verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Solomon here describing how the fear of the Lord gives life because it is a fountain. It's a spring. This is this constant renewal of a life-giving substance. Especially, you go to the Middle East, water is so precious. We take it for granted living in Iowa where we get too much water at times. Though right now we could maybe use a little more, right? But there are parts of the world where water is so precious. I mean, wars are fought over water. You have water, you control life. That's why it's an apt picture, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, constant renewal. And this isn't just survival, though. This is abundant life, truly living, constant living. John 10:10, Jesus says, I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So when he talks about giving everlasting life, that's what he means. But this comes from fearing the Lord. Chapter 19, verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. You want life? You want to truly live? Fear the Lord. And he finishes the thought by saying, to turn one away from the snares of the lures of death. This is where will take us, is that road that leads to death. It is where sin takes us. Psalm 18, verse 5, it parallels the snares of death with the sorrows of Sheol. When you have regret that it's all been wasted, there's an end, there's no more. You can't go back and repeat. Chapter 13, verse 14 says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. So it's almost parallel to this verse, but it uses the wording the law of the wise instead of the fear of the Lord. And I think that's intentional because it's showing us that to fear the Lord means you keep His commands. You obey the wisdom of God. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you truly fear the Lord, you're going to keep His commands. You're going to follow His ways, not your own. Fear the Lord gives life. When you're behind the wheel of a car, you need to be alert. It's easy to be lulled into thinking everything's going okay. But you ever driven in a storm? Let me tell you, it is fear of crashing that keeps you alive. I remember one time driving the Adirondacks. My brother was driving, but sitting in the passenger seat, and we were driving through some slush. And we came around the turn, and the snowplow was coming. And we started sliding into his lane. And thankfully, the wheels finally caught, and it yanked us back into our lane. Let me tell you, I never felt more alive than in that moment. Because you just realize you just escaped death. I remember our neighbor when he, if you remember, he hit black ice and landed in the quarry up on Dysart Road. He said he'd never felt more alive. And he said cigarettes never tasted so good. Now, I'm not sure how that, was maybe the best analogy, but, that sense when you've escaped death because you fear death. It is a fear that brings life. Do you realize, see how the fear of the Lord makes you feel even more alive? Do you realize the constant renewal that comes from living for God instead of yourself? Too often, depression is a result of self-focus. It's when you've internalized. But joy comes from living for God and others. The book of Philippians is all about the theme of joy. And it tells us how to have that. Just think about what Christ wants to think about. Think about others. Don't just think about yourself. And you find joy. You understand that a right view of God will turn you away from the snares of sin that will only lead to death. If you go to James chapter 1, it starts in verse 12 with the blessing for the one who endures temptation. When he will receive the crown of life. So the Lord promises to those who love Him. But what follows right after that is the discussion about how each one is tempted, not by God, but is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This is the lures that look so good. But what is a lure? It is something that looks good, but has a fatal bite. Fish find this out too late. And they swallow the worm with the hook in it. And we find it out too late when we swallow Satan's lies. And now we're caught paying the price of death. Recognizing this will keep us enduring temptation because we love God and we fear Him. Do you realize that the life that God promises is not just eternal survival but abundant life? To me, this concept, when I grasped that, was just life transformative. God doesn't just want to give us eternal existence in the heavens forever. The pie in the sky by and by. But He wants to give us eternal life now. It is purpose and meaning when you live for God, when you trust in Him, and He gives you eternal life starting now. There's a transition through the doorway of death, but you start living now. You're born again now. You have new life now. And everything about us should be transformed, right? 2 Corinthians 5, I quoted those verses earlier, 14 and 15. But if you go on, it talks about how we can have confidence, not in our flesh, but in God, and we're a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. That means all your priorities, the way you live, the way you think. And what follows right after that? We have a job to do, right? We're ambassadors. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And how is this possible? Because of the righteousness of Christ. Because what God has done in us. When we recognize that, it changes how we live. All because of the love of Christ for us. Are you living this way? Do you see how the fear of the Lord gives life? We often stop doing something when we don't see its benefits, right? We stop that diet because it's not working. Or we cancel the subscription because we're not using it anymore. Or we don't really use it that way. Or maybe it's the cell phone plan. Or for me, it was, I can't remember, I was probably middle school. I started getting these aircraft carts, and I should have brought the binders out. I could show them to you later if you want. But I started collecting this binder full of aircraft carts, and it was $20 a month. And I got 24 cards. And it was information about, I loved aircraft. I mean, it was all sorts of details and statistics. To this day, I can quote stuff to you that I just poured over those things, you know, and stories and all this. Until I realized, with the help of my older brother, that if I would continue this, and I had only gotten like 3 binders worth at that point. And then they started sending stuff that was like going to be in binders 7 and 8, or 6 and 7. I'm like, and we started adding up, okay, $20 a month times how many much more to fill this. It's going to be like, I'd already spent like $800. Right? And it was going to be way more than that. So I canceled the subscription. Now, God in His grace allowed my father-in-law to find the complete set at the library in Minnesota for $5. So I have the completed set. So that's the end of the story. But I canceled that because of the high cost. Do you see the benefits of fearing the Lord, or have you given up on, or are you considering giving up on obeying Him because you don't think it's worth it? You think your way is better. Do you see how the fear of the Lord gives deliverance, confidence, and life? Will you fear the Lord and so reap the benefits? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this challenge. Live in light of it, we pray, and to fear You. In Jesus' name, amen.